So excited this morning. So happy to see everybody. Just excited about what God is doing here at Grace. Just excited because God is God all by himself. Amen? Amen. As you know, we've been in a series here at Grace, series titled Stay Tuned. Stay Tuned. The first message, as you know, we came and we talked about the title of the series, Stay Tuned. And then the following Sunday, we talked from the topic, As the World Turns. And then on last week, last Sunday, Pastor Ryan talked about Duck Dynasty. Hey, man, that was pretty exciting. Today, I want to talk to you from the topic, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. This movie title, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, was a 1966 Western film starring the young Clint Eastwood. He played the good. He was a professional gunslinger in this movie. And then there was an actor called Lee Van Cleef who played the bad. He played a part-time hired hitman in the movie. And then another actor, Eli Wallach, he was the ugly, and he played a wanted outlaw. Now, to be honest with you, in preparation for this message, I thought I'd look at the movie. I had never saw The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. I started looking at the movie, and I got about halfway through, and like we do, I watched half of the movie and the other half watched me. But we're going to talk today from that topic, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The movie I found was, the basis of the movie was the good, the bad, and the ugly. These three gentlemen battled over $2,000 worth of gold that was buried, and the movie was about them battling over the gold. I never found out if they found it. If you've seen it, you might know because I fell asleep. Now, I'm not one that usually, well, I'm not going to say that. That's not true. I fall asleep in front of the TV all the time. Today I want to talk to you about three men that were crucified on crosses. All three of them were found guilty of crimes in the people's court. However, one of them was innocent of any sin. Let's look at our topic for this message just for a moment. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I thought I'd go to the dictionary to get some definitions. And I looked and found one of the definitions or a few of the definitions for ugly was unattractive, unpresent, unpleasant, morally revolting, dangerous, and mean. And then the definition of bad, not good in any matter, disobedient, contrite, regretful. And then good, the definition was morally excellent, satisfying, righteous, reliable, and safe. Today we are going to call the man on the cross that was to the far left ugly. His words were selfish and mean. His attitude was unattractive. His heart was morally revolting. He lived a very unpleasant life, sinful and rebellious. His soul was in danger of hell. Many people are like him, just ugly. Now, I'm not talking about physical appearance, but some people just have an ugly disposition. My mama used to say, God don't like ugly. Ugly people, their lives are wasted, filled with sin. They are cruel and mean, hateful and rebellious. They do not know who Jesus is, thus they're in danger of hell. Now, they can be saved. They can be helped. But for their pride and lack of faith, they're just ugly people. In reality, despite what Mom said, God loves ugly people. He loves people who are ugly on the inside. He loves people despite of their ugliness. Now, we're going to call the man that was on the cross on the far right of Jesus bad. He was not good. He lived a simple life like the other man on the far left. He was disobedient to God's laws. Yet he had a feeling of remorse about what he had done. He regretted his sins and sought forgiveness. Yes, he was bad, but he realized how bad he was. He recognized that his punishment was just. He recognized that the man in the middle was innocent and special. He turned to the man in the middle for help. He confessed his sins and sought forgiveness. Yes, he was sentenced to die a cruel death. But he stepped into heaven with Jesus because he realized how bad he was. Now, I don't know about you, but I can identify with the heart of the bad man. I don't know about you, but I also at one time was bad. I was also ugly. Not now. But just like him, I came to my senses and saw my sin. I know that I deserve to die, but I confessed to God and he forgave me. And then finally on the cross was good. Jesus is good. The Bible says that he stands at the door of every heart and knocks. It goes on to say that if he opens or you open your heart, he will come in and dine with you. I said one Sunday that a lot of times what we need to do is when we hear Jesus knocking at the door of our heart, we ought to look at what we are entertaining that's not like God and say, hold on a minute, somebody is knocking at my door. And we need to open up the door of our heart and let good come in. It's like on a cold or hot day, a hot day when you're in your home and it's mucky and hot and perhaps you fried fish. How many of you fried fish in your house? The whole house smells like fish. But there's something about opening the door of your home and there's a nice breeze that comes through that gets rid of the bad odor. I want you to know today that if you open up your heart to Jesus and allow the fresh air, the aroma of Jesus to come into your home, it can get rid of the badness. Jesus was born with no sin, but he became sin for us. He carried our sin to the cross. When the world was under the law and order of the Old Testament, and the world was sinking like the Titanic, there had to be a sacrificial lamb to atone for the sin of man. Now, the mission was impossible, but it was the passion of the Christ that decided to die for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, God made him who had no sin, sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let me say this right here. This is one of the most magnificent verses of all the Bible. Some theologians have called this one verse the heart of the gospel. It is the gospel summed up in one verse. Everything you need to know about how to go to heaven is in this one verse. I want to read it again. It says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. We were made righteous because he took our sins and brought them to the cross. He's good. We were bad. We were ugly. But he took our ugliness and our badness to the cross and died that we might have a right to the tree of life. Somebody ought to be clapping and being glad about that this morning. What an awesome verse. Everything you need can be found in those 23 words. There is an amazing simplicity here. 23 or 21 words of only one syllable. One word of two of one syllable. And one word, righteousness, of three syllables. That short paragraph in the Bible sums up salvation. It can hardly be simpler than that. Now let's talk about the thief on the right. He was bad, but he saw that Jesus was not guilty. He saw that Jesus was good. He saw that Jesus is good. And he saw that Jesus would always be good. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. I looked at 1 Peter 2 and 3. It says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You have to taste of the Lord, and you have to experience him, and you have to understand that he is good. God is like Campbell's soup. He is good. He is good because he is satisfying. He satisfies our souls. He is all we need. He supplies all of our needs according to his riches. He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. We were talking about prayer, I think it was yesterday in the board meeting, and we have to understand that God answers and hears our prayers. But what we fail to understand is that his answer is not always what we expect from him. We have a habit as a people, as believers, we pray to God and ask him to fix a problem, but then we give him instructions on how to fix it. And when he does not follow our instructions, we feel as if God did not answer our prayers. I want you to know today that God hears your prayers. He answers your prayers, but his answer may not be what you expect for it to be. But know that God answers prayer and he hears prayers. The Bible says that he hears the prayers of the righteous. Amen? He hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. His death satisfied the judgment of God. He saw the need of the thief on the cross. He is good because he is righteous. He is the righteous judge. Judge Judy has nothing on Jesus. Oh, she's a good judge. She's tough. She's rough. She tells people just like it is. But Jesus tells people just like it is. What Jesus is saying to you, come without money. Come as you are, and I will forgive you of your sins. He is fair and just in his dealing with us. His mercy and grace extended to us on the cross. In the midst of his dying, he took time to save a soul. He is good because he is reliable. Jesus can be trusted. Jesus keeps his word. His promises are true. He told the bad, today, this day, you should be with me in paradise. Friends and family fail. They make promises and break promises. They are limited, as I said a few Sundays ago, in how they can keep their promises. But there's no limitation to God. If God said it, you can take it to the bank. If God wrote the check, you can cash it. If God has made a declaration, you can believe it, because God cannot lie, and he is a promise-keeping God. Finally, he is good because he is safe. The safest place to be is in the arms of Jesus. I use this analogy in keeping with staying tuned and with the TV. Jesus is our Superman. He's able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. He's more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet. He's like Spider-Man. He can throw a web in your life and pull you out of the horrible pit of sin and to the greatness of his love and joy. He is our avenger. For when sin had captured us and the devil comes against us, he avenges us by his death and love for us. Oh, he's like the Man of Steel. He cannot be broken. He cannot be bent. Yet he's like the Ant-Man, because he can get into your small situations and fix them for you. What a mighty God we serve. Now, I'm talking about the death of Jesus, and I know that Easter just passed a few weeks ago, and we talked about the death and resurrection of Jesus on Easter. But the good news is the gospel of his death should not just be confined to Easter Sunday. Paul was talking when he said in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 2, "And I, brethren, when I come to you not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." What Paul was saying, I'm not eloquent. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I'm not the wisest man in the world. But what I preach to you is Christ and him crucified. I want you to know that when the Easter clothes are hanging in the closet, when the boiled eggs have been all eaten, and when all the visitors are gone home, when we find ourselves burdened under the weight of sickness, pain, and sadness, we need the resurrection of Jesus to be spoken to us that Sunday also. We owe our very lives to Jesus. That is what the emphasis of Easter Sunday is. That is what the gospel does for us. It lifts us out of the chains of slavery. We are no longer slaves to fear. It places us fully and securely into the God's salvation. Jesus has won us for life. Jesus has won us for life. One of the gang sayings is blood in, blood out. I want you to know that because his blood was shed, we're in forever. We're in forever. We need to hear this every single Sunday. We need to sing this every single Sunday. We need to believe this every single Sunday, not just on Easter Sunday, but we need to preach Christ and him crucified, because that is the good news. I don't know about you, but I need to hear about a little Easter every day. When I'm going to work and, hey man, things are not going the way they should, when I'm facing adversity, I need to know that I have a Superman in my life. I have a man in my life that can do anything, anything in my behalf. Give God a hand praise. So just for a moment, let's look at this from the perspective of the three on the cross, the good, the bad, and the ugly. On a small hill outside the city of Jerusalem, great crowds had gathered to see three men condemned criminals to die. But we're not going to focus on the crowd this morning. Also standing nearby is a centurion of the Roman army with a squad of soldiers that were charged to execute Jesus. Also there was a member of the centurion and the chief priest who had condemned Jesus the night before in the people's court. But we're not going to focus on them this morning. Also, there was a few women there, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and some of the other women who followed Jesus from Galilee, but that is not the focus of our message this morning. There was people there who loved Jesus, who supported him. There was also people there that hated him and wanted him to be crucified, but that's not the focus of our message. This morning, we're not going to look at them. Instead, we're going to talk about two men nailed to crosses on either side of Jesus. And then we're going to talk about the man in the middle. John 19, 17 to 18 says, carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull. In Arabic, that is pronounced Golgotha. There they crucified him with two others on each side and Jesus in the middle. The two men on either side of Jesus are condemned to death by crucifixion. But both of them were sentenced and deserved to die. They both were going to be dead before the sun went down. Now let's take a few moments, think about this. These two men nailed to the crosses on each side of Jesus, bad and ugly. They had sinned, they had did wrong. And they were hanging on the cross next to life, dying next to life, dying next to the light, dying next to the Lion of Judah, the Lion of Judah, the Lion King. Lying there, dying on the cross next to the bread of life, next to the morning star, next to the guiding light, next to the Prince of Peace, next to Jesus, the Son of God, next to the Balm of Gilead. They were dying next to life. I want you to know that every person on earth is represented by these two men that were on the cross. Everyone in the world and everyone here this morning is represented by those two men. Like us, these two men were sinners, sentenced to die like all mankind, just like you and I. But Jesus, everybody say, but Jesus. Jesus was their only hope. The only hope these men had was the man in the middle. They were bad and ugly, but they had good in the middle of them. David must have understood this when he wrote Psalms 23 and 4. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. I'm not, or have I ever been a big soap opera fan. But I do remember my mother watching a soap opera, and I remember how it came on. A voice would come on, first some music, and then a voice would come on and say, like the sands through the hours of a time glass, so are the days of our lives. I didn't watch it. I just heard that. I want you to know that that's the way our life is, like sand through a time glass. Our life is going. It is expiring as you sit. The question is, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? Are you going to run to good? Are you going to run to bad, or are you going to run to ugly? I'll stop by to tell you, pick good. Pick Jesus. He is the answer. Jesus, there on the cross, means that atonement has been made for our sins. These two men are already lost. They're already sinners. They've already been condemned. They're about to die. Their only hope is that God has sent Jesus to the cross to die in their place. Yes, they were going to die physical deaths, but not spiritual deaths, had they, like the man on the right, accepted Jesus on the cross. He is the atonement for our sin. What a substitute Jesus is, dying in the sinner's place. He is suffering, we see on the cross, in the place of sinners. Isaiah 53 and 6 says, all we are like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has led him the iniquity of us all. The only hope that the bad and ugly had is the good that can take the blame for their sins. and the punishment for their sins. And so it is with us today. Jesus there on the cross means that God has sent him there to save us from our sins. It means that God loves us and gave his son to bear our sins and to die in our place, to pay the price for our sins. He is available to save us. If you have not made the decision, if you're sitting here today and you have not made the decision to accept Christ in your life, I want you to know that the good loves you. Jesus loves you, and you can find salvation today. Just like the thief on the cross, dying of his sins that he had committed, but he realized that Jesus was the answer. I want you to know today, Jesus is the answer. All you have to do is believe, and he will give you mercy. The Bible says that he is goodness and his mercy will follow you. That means he had humbled himself. He had came down from heaven and died on the cross for our sins. And I want you to know today that if you are here, and like I said, if you're under the sound of my voice and you want to experience salvation, if you want to experience, I'm not saying, notice I didn't say if you are not a member of a church, if you don't attend church. I'm talking about a personal relationship with God. Your name being on the roll books of a church, the fact that you come to church every Sunday. If you have not made a personal commitment to Jesus, if you have not opened your heart, I don't care how ugly you are. I don't care how bad you are. Jesus loves you. I want you to do something for me just for a moment in closing. If you would just close your eyes for a moment. And right where you're sitting, I want you to imagine, think about in your mind the baddest thing that you've ever done in your life. The ugliest, sinfulest thing you've ever done in your life. Don't share it, just keep it. I don't want to know. But I want you to think in your head, the worst thing that you just couldn't tell anybody. It was so bad and so ugly, you have to keep it a secret to yourself. Hold that in your mind for a moment while I share this with you. One drop of good blood has wiped that thing you're thinking about away. One drop of the blood of Jesus is enough to wipe away that thing you're thinking about, that you thought was so bad, so ugly, so disgusting and revolting. God will forgive you. While your eyes are closed, while you're sitting there thinking about it, if you had not accepted Christ in your life, just tell God, forgive me. Come into my heart. Save me. The Bible says that, I want to read one scripture in closing, and that is Romans 10:8-9. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Listen, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everybody give God a hand praise for salvation. Dear Father, we thank you today because we realize that times in our lives, even now, we've been bad and we've been ugly. But we thank God for you. We thank God for the good in our lives. We thank you, Lord, because you stand at the doors of our hearts and you're knocking. You want to come in and commune and sup with us. And we say today, we open up our hearts for you to come in and Lord, and dine with us and be with us. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.